Open your Bibles tonight to Job chapter 4 as we continue on our study on hope with help. We're building this off of Romans 5:5, which says, "Hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given us, that we have a helper, that God has given us the Holy Spirit, an advocate, a helper, a friend, amen, a teacher." And so the Lord will help us. In our text tonight, Eliphaz was kind of criticizing Job. And he was thinking that because of Job's lack of faith, that these things were happening to him. But just remember in Psalms 34:19, the Word of God says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." So Job, Lord allowed Job to be afflicted. And I don't know about you, but Job has helped me out tremendously. Amen? Because sometimes when I'm going through something, I see what Job went through. Amen? And I get encouragement, man, because what I'm going through really isn't as bad as he went through, but the Lord saw him through and gave him a double portion of everything back. So no matter what he went through, the end was good. But I want to take you somewhere first before we get into this teaching tonight. Look at your Bibles with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Solomon, the preacher here, amen, gives us a little understanding. When Solomon asked the Lord for stuff, when God said he'd give him whatever he wanted, he asked for wisdom. It was the greatest thing he could ask for. But in Ecclesiastes 9:2, the Word of God says this: "All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, and to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath." In other words, says there's things that rain on the just and the unjust, amen? But we know that we have eternal promises. I saw this illustration today of a man that was, he was given an illustration about this life in eternity, and he had this long rope. And on the end of the rope, there was some red tape, just about this long. And he was speaking about this being our lifespan. And we get so caught up with this little lifespan that we have here, what we're going to do after we retire, what we're going to do, what are we going to eat, what we're going to do this. But we miss this long rope of eternity. Amen. And God wants you and I to understand that eternity is far more important than this short span of life that we have now. But when Job's friend Eliphaz was speaking to him, and where I'm going to go tonight, he was kind of being critical, but he had the wrong heart, but he posed some good questions. Amen? So in verse number 6, the Word of God says, "Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and the uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, who ever perished being innocent? Or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow in wickedness reap the same." In other words, Eliphaz was trying to say that Job was going through this because Job did wrong. But Job was a man that God trusted. Amen? So sometimes when you're going through things, it doesn't mean that you're going through it because you did something wrong. Amen? We live in a world where there's adversity. Amen? And God wants us to understand. So we're going to ask some questions tonight from our text. And these were really good questions. The first question is this: are you fearful? Are you fearful? In other words, this fear is, we're not afraid of God. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. So he doesn't mean fear nor being afraid of him in this text. It means to reverence him, to respect him, to honor him. Matter of fact, if you go, number first one is to revere. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, as Solomon's closing it out, he's finishing preaching. He's talking about what our duty is. Amen? How many know that we have a duty? God does his part, and he has a requirement for us to do ours. Verse number 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Amen? So first is, you know, are you fearful? Do you revere him? When you revere somebody, you have respect for them. Amen? So secondly, it's to respect. And Jesus said, Matthew chapter 10, Matthew 10, 28, he says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Amen? He was talking about respect. How do we respect God? Hello? Obey? What other ways? You know how we a lot of times, hey, young people, you know how a lot of times we dishonor God? When we dishonor our parents. He calls for us to honor our parents. So when we dishonor our parents, we dishonor God. How about when we don't respect one another? He said, submit to one another. Humble yourselves and submit to one another under the mighty hand of God. So he tells us to respect one another. You know, respect is important. So when I'm revering God, what am I doing? I'm respecting him and I'm respecting his word. They're entertainers, stop. They're good. Amen. Are you with me? So he says, are you fearful? Are you reverent? Are you revering him? Are you respecting him? Are you respecting others? Amen. Thirdly is how to react. In 1 Peter chapter 1, he says in verse 17, he says, and if you call on the Father, who without respect to persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. You know, he's redeemed us from the corruptible things of this world. So what is he saying to us first and foremost? The question he poses to us as Eliphaz was talking to Job in a kind of judgmental way, we're asking in a loving and kind way, the question is, are you fearful? Ha! So we're called to revere, we're called to respect, and if we revere and respect, it calls for us to react, amen? In other words, what are we going to do with what we hear, all right? Are we going to be hearers? Are we going to be doers of God's word? You know, the Bible says, faith without works is dead, being alone. Amen? Are you with me, everyone? Am I waking anybody, putting anybody asleep? Where'd I lose you? You old ladies all sit in the back row. Okay. God's called us to be fearful. We're fearful when we revere him, we respect him, we honor him, and it's all about how we react. It's how we react, how we respond, okay? our actions are going to speak louder than our words. Amen? Are you with me? Anybody catch up with me? Okay. Secondly, he says, and it says he's, the second question I want to pose is, are you confident? Are you confident? Confidence is so important. Amen? You can't do anything that you're not confident to do. First is to bestow, I have in there, in Proverbs 14. And we're talking about reverence and fearing the Lord. Solomon says this in verse 26. He says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Amen? What does he say? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Forgive me. I said old, and y'all aren't old. Y'all are middle-aged women, and I just forgive me for saying that. Amen. So bestow, we need to believe. I love what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, talking about confidence, to be confident. Being confident of this very thing, verse 6, that he which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And what we're seeing and what we're looking at is God never starts anything he doesn't finish, and that we're all a work in progress, but we have to have confidence knowing that God's working in our hearts and lives. Amen? Because if we don't have confidence, the adversary will sway us in the wrong direction. Amen? One of the things that we have confidence is confidence to become. To become. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 11, the Word of God says, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, and whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you. The Apostle Paul says, which is your glory. In other words, when Saul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, Jesus told him that he would suffer many things for his name's sake. And I'm so grateful that Saul and Paul suffered some of those things so I don't have to. Amen? The only way I have to learn through him is if I don't learn through him. Now, I don't want to know about you. I would rather learn from somebody else than to have to go through it myself. But if I don't catch the lesson from someone else, I get to take the journey myself. One way or another, God's going to get it through to you. Amen? So in other words, we can study the word, study to show ourselves approved, workmen that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen? So that we can apply it to our lives, what others have learned, so that we don't have to go through the same thing they did. Amen? And this calls for us to be fearful, that we have to be reverent, so to revere him, to respect him, to react to whatever he says to do. Amen? Then we have the confidence to bestow, to become, to believe and to become. And thirdly in this text, he has this, are you hopeful? Are you hopeful? To look past what you're going through. You know, the Word of God says in Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things that we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. So we have to have faith to see past, to look past what we're facing. Amen? It's so difficult not to get caught up into the here and now and what you're going through. And then that what you're going through begins to overwhelm and starts to take the precedence and starts to become the major thing. In other words, and all of a sudden, whether you recognize it or not, it becomes larger than God. We didn't intend that. Our heart doesn't mean for that to happen, but that's what happens when we magnify our problem instead of magnifying our praise. Truthfully, let's be honest. Who felt like praising the Lord when they came in here this evening? See, we're honest. You know? In other words, a couple felt like praising, and many did not. We just didn't have it. So that's where faith has to arise. Faith is when I don't feel like doing it, but I know what he says the outcome is. So by faith, I step in and do it anyway. And somebody says, well, that's just faking. No, it isn't. It isn't faking it. I'm telling you, if you didn't have any problem, most of us didn't have any problem listening to whatever music you were listening to on the way here. If you had some music on, you were beating and you were jumping to it. Come on. Hello? Because you chose to listen to that. You were grooving to that. Now something was a little different beat or whatever. Well, that doesn't. What is that feeding? It's feeding your flesh, not your spirit man. Your spirit man says, I'm going to praise the Lord no matter what. I'm going to worship him no matter what. I was created to praise him. I'm going to praise him and worship him for eternity. I might as well get used to doing it now. Amen? What are you playing there, Michael? You had a guitar? What was it, a guitar, bass? What were you playing? You were faking it. Banjo? Down and down, down, down. Amen? So somewhere along the line, we've got to say, we got to allow our faith to rise past what we're facing, believing God for what he says in his word. Secondly, I have to labor. And the labor isn't labor to, sometimes, well, yeah, sometimes it's a labor to get into his presence. Amen? So if we say that, let's look what's happening. You know, we've had a busy day. We're working. We're tired. We've got all these things going on. And we come in here, and all of a sudden we're supposed to praise the Lord, but we have to do it by faith. And he says in James 2:17, even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. Now, if I'm operating by faith, and I'm being hopeful, because I have confidence, and I'm revering God, amen, and I have faith, by faith, I'm going to put the works to busy. Faith without works is dead. In other words, by faith, I got to clap my hands. I try to clap the hands and get some rhythm going, but there's people in here that have better rhythm than me that you should be clapping your hands. Does anybody like the beat, the rhythm? Does anybody like me? Just because we don't have a drum, that doesn't mean we can't create one here. Just because we don't have a bass right now doesn't mean that someone in here can't sing bass. Somebody can sing tenor. Somebody can sing soprano. Somebody can just sing, you know, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. That's putting our faith and adding works to our faith. And as we're adding works to our faith, God can't help but inhabit the praise of his people. Amen. Rock it back there, Michael. I'll jump with you. Is this a new rock? Oh, I thought you were showing us a new move for praise. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hey, we can do it, man. If that's what it takes. Amen. So faith is the substance of things hoping for that we hope for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith without works is dead being alone. So in other words, we've got to add some of our action to our faith. Amen. Amen. Now, what do you think when you got people that come up to lead you. Just imagine, put yourself up there and you're trying to lead a group in the singing, and nobody likes every song, and you're trying to lead people in singing, and nobody wants to cooperate, and you just close your eyes because you don't want to look at everybody not cooperating. You know, it's just... huh? She's really worshiping. But it's the truth. It's the truth. In other words, and if we really believe when we come into unity and we come into praise that God inhabits the praises of the people, then things start taking place and things start happening. And the adversary doesn't want you to praise the Lord. Amen. He wants you, when you walk through these doors, he wants you to think about all the problems you had in the day. Everything that went wrong. Anybody have anything go wrong today? Absolutely. We all had something go wrong, you know? The adversary is constantly trying to trip us up, right? Okay. So it's important for us to listen. Is anybody listening to what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Ha ha, Cassandra. Huh? You know, you don't want to do that with me because I'll start preaching back here. Tell them, guys. No, I'm just kidding. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. God wants to remind us this. Remind of this tonight. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Amen. You and I, if we start acting in faith, we'll have faith to move mountains and obstacles, and things will be shifting and moving. Amen? It's an exciting time we're living in. Amen? And each and every one of you are valuable and important, and God has a plan. So what are you saying to us tonight? The questions that Job that Eliphaz was put before Job because he was questioning his faith, but I'm not questioning anybody's faith, but they were good questions. Are you fearful? Are you confident? Are you hopeful? The main question is, are you active? Are you active? To put to practice is what I have. And I love what in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse number 2, Hannah's song of praise. Amen? I don't know why the Lord led into praise tonight, but I didn't plan that. The Lord did, because he wants to get it into our hearts of how valuable and how important it is and why the adversary is trying to keep us from doing it. Amen? Because in the midst of praise, in the midst of rejoicing, in the midst of worship, problems and things start dissolving and falling away. Amen. And he wants you to carry those things. He wants you to take with you what you brought. He doesn't want you to be released from anything. His goal was to have us in bondage. And Hannah's song of praise, it says, there is none holy in verse 2 as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Amen? In other words, actions speak louder than our words. And God is asking you and I to respond to him, to offer up the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. If your lips aren't saying anything, you're not giving him praise. He doesn't care what your voice is like. He don't care if you can sing or you can't sing. It's joyful to him. It's joyful to him. And the adversary wants you to think just because some people don't have a good voice, oh, I can't sing. Well, then you can't praise, because praise is the fruit of your lips. Amen? And it holds you in bondage. Amen. The Lord says to you tonight, listen to me, everybody here, everyone in the room can sing. Everyone in the room can sing. Just start singing. Just start making a noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen? She can sing too. And so can you. You have that. Praise God. So, with all that said, are you with me? Now, who's going to come into the Sunday morning ready to praise the Lord and start singing with their mouths open? See your hands. Come on. Come on. Come on. You not going to sing? Would you please sing? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. So God calls us to show him reverence. God calls us to show him reverence and to respect his word totally. It should be relying on him through faith, reacting to his promises. So tonight he's given us a call to be fearful, to be confident, to be hopeful, and to be active. Amen? We're going to activate some praise in the house, right? All right. Up there, every praise. Can we all sing? We're gonna activate praise. We're gonna have a rehearsal tonight. Amen. Amen. Is everybody ready for a rehearsal? Everybody ready to rehearse? Jackie, every praise. Probably gotta turn stuff back on. Is your keyboard still on? Hallelujah. Come on, everybody stand. Let's get into it. Hallelujah. Praises to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Every praise is to our God. Hallelujah to our God. Glory, hallelujah to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Every praise is to our God. My Savior, God, my healer, my deliverer. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. God, my Savior. God, my healer, my deliverer. Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship, one accord. Every praise is to our God. Hallelujah! Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Sing a new song to him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord, we're so grateful, Father God. We're so grateful for your love, your mercy, and grace, and the plans that you have for everyone in this place. Be with us, Father God, as we fellowship together and eat together, Father God. Be glorified and be magnified. And we thank you, Father God, that we're fearful and we're reverent of you, and that we have confidence and we're hopeful, and we're putting our faith to action, Father God. And we'll never cease to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.